In Florida, we have a place for you. Not only do we understand your aspirations, we're ready for them. For all the amazing things your future holds, we hold the key. Florida, the future is here.
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm Charlie Turner in New York. Airlines make their money from business class passengers who often take long-haul flights, and they're trying to lure as many premium passengers as possible with luxury seats. The seats can convert to a lie-flat bed with display screens, entertainment systems, and privacy panels that wall off fellow passengers. Such perks, as you might imagine, cost the airlines a lot of money. Doug Cameron is the Wall Street Journal's deputy bureau chief in Chicago, from where he joins us. First, Doug, are these new types of seats industry-wide? Is just about every major carrier offering them?
What you've seen is a spread from the international long-haul routes. The lie-flat beds first came in about 15, maybe as many as 20 years ago, kind of spread throughout the industry. Now you're seeing a little bit in the U.S. domestic market. Once upon a time, you used to have 747 jumbo jets went coast to coast. No longer. It's kind of single-aisle planes. But you're seeing a few carriers, even in the U.S., install these lie-flat seats on coast-to-coast flights.
How much do these seats cost?
That's the crazy thing we find when we're looking at this story. We all know that a business class ticket costs considerably more than a coach class. And what you've seen is the cost of these seats has gone in from anywhere from $50,000 to an eye-popping $500,000 just to buy a seat, which seems surprising, at least I find. And I've looked at this industry for a long time.
So working that out, basically, how much does it cost per plane?
Well, you know, you might have only 10 of these in a sort of single aisle plane going coast to coast, or you might have as many as 60 in a big Boeing 777 or Airbus A350. So you can do the math, and you end up with something like an investment of 20 to 30 million in some of the largest planes just for these business class seats alone. And that's in a plane which by itself might cost, you know, $150, $200 million to buy without the seat. So it's a big part of the investment decision for the airlines.
And meanwhile, as you write, the airlines are trying to squeeze as much revenue as they can from coach passengers. And by squeeze, we mean it. They're really being crowded together, trying to fight off a loss of circulation. They're diametrically opposed.
Well, it's interesting you should bring that up because, you know, there's a finite space in the airline cabin, and we've seen what's happened in the economy section. Yes, the seats are getting squeezed closer together. You've actually seen, with some airlines at least, a similar thing happening in the front. And what they've tried to do is actually squeeze as many of the business class seats in at the same time. So you have these kind of strange configurations where when it converts to a bed, your feet, I'm only partly exaggerating here, your feet are kind of under the head of the person in front of you. And the seats have actually, in some cases, got narrower. And some of the cost and complexity of that has increased the purchase price of these seats has actually been reflecting the need or the airline's desire to squeeze a few more of these business class seats into that space at the front of the plane.
So these are mini suites in which the fancy seats are grouped together and they're walled off?
That's in a very small subsection, to be honest. One of the U.S. carriers actually does that. JetBlue does that. You see a few overseas carriers, Singapore Airlines and Qatar Airways and Etihad come to mind. It's actually interesting when you talk to the designers of these seats that business class passengers, by and large, tend to travel by themselves. No huge surprise there. But when they do surveys, they find that American business travelers, for example, really value the privacy and kind of like these screens. Other survey respondents they've polled, the Eastern Europeans, a group they like to travel together, in the sense that you know, even people they're working with kind of like to commune more and don't like these privacy screens. And of course, there's a spectrum in between.
I'm speaking with Doug Cameron of the Wall Street Journal. He's joining us from Chicago, and you're listening to Your Money Matters.
We know you well, you who became a multimillionaire at 43, and you who was born one. We know you, who loses sleep over how your kids will deal with inheriting a fortune. And you, no longer getting a paycheck, but not needing one either. And also you, who doesn't have to work, but can't help not to. You serial entrepreneur, you. At BNY Mellon Wealth Management, we know because we know you well, and that gives us the necessary insight to help you grow, protect, and transfer your wealth. BNY Mellon is the corporate brand of the Bank of New York Mellon Corporation and its subsidiaries.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Doug, who are some of the makers of these seats? Isn't Rockwell Collins one of them?
Rockwell Collins is pretty much the market leader now. It bought a company called BE Aerospace, another U.S. company, which has big plants in the U.S. and in Northern Ireland. Then there's Zodiac Aerospace, a French company, which itself is in the process of being bought. And then a third major player is a company called Recaro, which is German-based. They kind of dominate this business class end of the market as well as making coach seats. But you see a little bit of movement now as both airlines look to try and cut the cost of making these things, and Boeing and Airbus try to iron out some wrinkles in the supply chain. Boeing's actually working with a company called Adient, which used to be called Johnson Controls, and is a very big maker of auto seats, and is now targeting this business class end of the aircraft seating market, its first move into the aircraft market. But at the moment, very concentrated amongst these three companies I mentioned earlier.
It seems to me that for these new seats, there are a lot of moving parts, obviously, wiring, et cetera, which in addition to development, they have to be put through safety tests.
That's something I kind of witnessed when I went to one of the Rockwell plants. Yeah, they have this giant sled, which basically accelerates a test seat, but it's a seat with a test dummy. You've probably seen the films of car test dummies in simulated crashes. So it does the same thing. If you can imagine a dummy sitting on this fancy seat with its nice meal set out in front of it and a video screen, and they accelerate it up to 16G, which replicates the average 16G of a very hard landing stroke or crash, and you see bits flying off it. And every time they add something to the seat, they kind of have to test it again. And if you imagine, you know, you're basically crashing $50,000 or more of seat at a time, and you can see how the development cost can add up over the years as you add new fancy bits and pieces onto these seats.
Wall Street Journal Deputy Bureau Chief Doug Cameron joining us from Chicago. Thanks a lot, Doug.
Thanks so much.
And that's Your Money Matters. I'm Charlie Turner at the Wall Street Journal.
News on the go. Whenever you want it, wherever you want it. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.